The old year is almost gone, 2024. The new year is here. What does that mean to you? Stay with us. Let's talk about it. So welcome on this Monday, December the 9th. To all things apostolic, we're glad that you've stopped by to hang out with us here a little while. It's Christmas season. It's my favorite time of the year. I like getting gifts, of course. That's a big deal. But that's not the main deal. The main deal is, as you know, is that Jesus is the reason for the season. And with all the commercialism and all of the Santa Claus and all of the snowmen and all of the other mythological things that have been attached to Christmas, in spite of it all, it's still a wonderful time. It's a time of family. It's a time of reflection because it ends up at the end of the year is part of the reason. It's a time of mental, hopefully spiritual, and in some cases, physical meditation and thought about 2025. So you say, well, what do you mean by physical meditation? I mean diet. So a lot of people are thinking, okay, on January 1st, I'm changing my ways. I'm going to lose 180 pounds. Well, I mean, that's a few folks. Other folks are just thinking 80 pounds, but that's still a few folks. Others are thinking less, but they're still thinking. So anyway, you get it. That's part of what comes on the new year. This is just a guess, but I'd guess that that ranks right up there with one of the most prominent New Year's resolutions that people have. But really, it's the emotional and spiritual and mental processes that at this time of the year, we submit them to reflection and we think about these things. And how am I going to make, I mean, at least I hope you're thinking about these things. How am I going to make 2025 a better year? And how am I going to be a better person in 2025? How am I going to do that? And what am I going to do? And maybe if you think about this long enough, you get to the other end of this where you say, and what kind of outcomes do I want or expect when I get to the end of 2025? So oftentimes I don't get that far, but it's a great time. It's a time when we're thinking about the most important interruption in the chronological flow of human history that ever took place, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. And so here, this next, 20, what would it be, next 15 days until Christmas, that will be a high focus. At the church, we'll be having our Christmas concert, I don't know, two Sundays from now, I think. That'll be a high focus, the focus on Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one that everything in history revolves around. In fact, history itself is the framework in which history can take place is created by him. In fact, the Bible says all things are created by him. That's what we mean when we say the God-man. He is both God and man. He's not half God and half man. He is both God and man. And in his divinity, he has Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and 11 tells us that he is the Almighty, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us that he is the everlasting Father. And many other scriptures, John 10, 30, and my Father 1, and John 14, 6, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. So these are good days. These are good days. These are also days in which we usually slow down. We may speed up, but we're speeding up doing fun things, at least theoretically. What about you? I hope you are. So we're not slowing down much in my case, but we are doing some fun things also. So actually that means we're speeding up because we're doing more things and not less things. So didn't turn my phone off and it's ringing. We'll have to worry about that later. So anyway, we're glad that you're with us today. There's a lot of tremendously good things that are taking place. On a personal level, I had a birthday last Friday, December the 6th. I was born on December 6th. That's the day in 1945 when World War II ended, was on December 6th, 1945. And so I was born on December 6th. And so I got a list of people that were born on December 6th. That, in fact, they had one come up to me at church last night and say, yeah, we're both born on this happy birthday. We're both born on December 6th. And I forgot, but I didn't let them know that. I said, oh, yeah, we are. So anyway, it was a good birthday. They took me to one of my favorite restaurants and as a special occasion. And we had a Ruth's Chris steak. We did something after. I can't remember what we did right now, but it was something that was fun. And then Saturday, in my little world, I spoke at a Christmas banquet in Northern California up above us here about 3 hours, and then stayed overnight, and then Sunday preached at their service, at what would be our morning service. And then I drove back home yesterday, and we had a great service last night here at home. 4 or 5 new people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which I thought was just great, and here's why. Because a lot of times our holiday services end up to just being kind of awash. You know, people come to church, but it's like, we want to kind of back off here in the holidays and take it easy. Some churches dismiss a lot of services. Depending on the schedule, we may dismiss a service in the Christmas season, depending on when Christmas is falling, or move a service or something of that nature. But I learned a lesson a long time ago. Two ways I learned a lesson. One was with Kenneth Haney, my brother-in-law, who's now passed away. He's with the Lord. And we were at his town celebrating Christmas. The whole family was there. It was a midweek, and most churches had dismissed service, but he did not. He was very reluctant to dismiss the service. And he and I was talking, and he said, Nate, he said, the reason that I don't dismiss service, he said, I just think, you know, there just may be someone in the Christmas season that comes to church that is lonely, and then maybe that's why they came to church. And that something could happen to help them. And so he would have service there wasn't but a handful of people there. And I remember on that particular year, a new person actually came to service that night and received a baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I never forgot that. And then to add to that, I remember a number of years ago, this is a long time ago, but it was here in Sacramento. We had an evangelist preach for us on a Sunday night, who was here because his family lived here and he had come in to be with his family. And I asked him to preach, and he preached, and the power of the Holy Ghost fell, and we started a revival and went through almost the entire month of December. 45 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was like just the Holy Ghost just fell. It was the greatest Christmas present in the world for the church and for the 45 people that received the Holy Ghost. So anyway, you know, you just never know in God's economy. You never know what's going to happen. And so last night, here it is, December 9th, there's a lot of practice going on for the Christmas concert. There's people out of town. There's all these things happening. We have a little saying here that we use at our church. There are no throwaway services anymore. There may have been a day when you could say, you know, we'll just kind of get through it. But there are no throwaway services. And so last night, Pastor preached a grand total of 12 minutes, made an altar call, four or five people got the Holy Ghost. So we're excited about that. We feel good about that, and we thank God for what he's doing. I mentioned to you that I was up preaching in Northern California, up above Sacramento, 3 hours or so, and I was at Red Bluff with Pastor Nathan Cox and his wife, Allison Cox, and their two children, which are just cute as a button. And we had a great time. It's the first time I'd been there in probably a couple of years. And I was just really pleasantly surprised, or not totally surprised, because I have faith in the leadership of the Coxes as they lead that church. But it had grown significantly, and it had solidified. It wasn't just a gaggle of people, but it had coherence. It was a church. It was getting apostolic, what I would call apostolic traction, and it's growing. Got just tremendous people, wonderful people in the church. So I was very excited to be there and see all of this tremendous progress that's going on. And he sold the building that they were in, which was in we thank God for any building we've got, but it was in a very difficult neighborhood and not a good neighborhood. And God helped them to sell the building. They're meeting at this point in the community center. Great crowd yesterday. They also had a little building in another town that had been purchased, and that for several years the church had owned it. And they, in fact, originally that building in the little town was for sale for a really good price, like $75,000. Pastor Young saw it from here at the Rock Church and drove up there. And so the pastor of Red Bluff said, we'd try to start a Spanish work if we had that building. And so the Rock Church helped them. The Rock Church supplied the money to buy that building. They paid that money back over a number of years. And not only did they pay it back, but they just sold it for about twice what had been paid for it. So altogether, the church there has got some money now ready to move forward to buy a new property. We preached about all this, and they're praying, and they're believing, and they're probing, and pastors just looking, running to and fro in the earth to find the best place. And the church's name is now North State Pentecostals. North State Pentecostals. And as North State Pentecostals, as the name implies, it reflects a vision that in that whole area there, where there's a number of cities and towns and villages, in that whole area, they have a vision to be the church that can break spiritual strongholds and break darkness, and it's already happening, and people find the revelation of truth and begin to walk with God. So. We're proud of the Coxes. We're proud of the work they're doing. And we're proud of what God's doing there. This is going to become, if God tarries and we all continue to walk in the Holy Ghost, this is going to become a tremendous, tremendous, it already is, but it's going to become a more tremendous apostolic church. I mean, a first-class apostolic church. So we're excited about that. Here at the university, we're excited, Wilson University. We're excited for the new year. We're pondering, thinking, reflecting. We're signing up new students at a faster rate than perhaps we ever have. And we're we feel good about that. We feel like people need, they need apostolic education. In our world, we want people to be effective and successful. We want them also to think of business as mission, whatever job they have, it has to revolve around God and His kingdom. And in doing that, the school plays a tremendously important role. So we're thankful for all of that. And of course, there are many churches that are being blessed by, you know, there's revelations. There's revelations about leadership. There's revelations about worldview. All these things are streams that pour into and contribute to the strength of the river that flows out of a person as a leader. And if those streams are weak, the leadership effectiveness, both quantitatively and qualitatively, that flows out of them is weakened to that extent. What we want is a rushing river that just washes away. And I think it was 1996 here in Sacramento and in Northern California, there was a major flood, the largest flood in I don't know how many years. And one of the side effects of that flood was it overflowed the banks of the rivers. It was going everywhere. But one of the side effects was it swept tens of thousands of pounds of garbage off the banks of rivers, out of the surrounding areas, got swept up in those strong currents. If a human got swept up in them, it was just curtains. It was just too bad. But it swept up all of this trash, and it washed it. Washed the land. It gave the land a shower and a bath, and washed it out to sea. The article I read about this, there was water. The Sacramento River flows into San Francisco Bay. There was water in the San Francisco Bay back in those little cubbies and so forth. Water there that had not moved in 25 years. That water just sat there and it just kind of jiggled back and forth, but never, it was the same water that was there. I know water evaporates, but it was the same without fresh water running in there for 25 years. And as a result of that, anything like if there was a little boat or something that sat in there without being used much, there was barnacles all over it. There was barnacles all over the ground, the floor, the wall of the bay, and this sea washed in there and washed out all the barnacles and swept out all that old and stale water and cleaned the floor of the bay. It was like an enormous cleansing physically of Northern California. So when the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost in you will be like a mighty rushing river, to the degree that our leadership has the mighty rushing impact, is there any pressure when you turn the faucet on in your Holy Ghost? Does the water just dribble out, or is it just come shooting out? And so the mighty rushing river of the Holy Ghost rushing through us is a sign of a deep well spring of leadership in that individual or that group of individuals. And it also is a sign that the conduits through which it flows are clean. And so it has ease of access to come out in high volume. So we're hoping in 2025 that there's more people that we can do our share to help equip them to be that kind of leader. If you're going to be a leader the rest of your life, if you're called of God, you're going to be a leader the rest of your life. I would think we'd have enough wisdom to understand that preparation for this leadership that God's got for us, preparation on a high level, on a unique and distinct level that frankly cannot be found at this point elsewhere. I would think that spending some time in that would be profitable and that we would understand that. So if you're interested, contact Wilson University and let's get going and let's become everything God wants us to become. Some of you have been thinking about it and you haven't done anything about it. Today is the day. Today's the day. Get it on. God bless you.